Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Worship Experience. Let's give God a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah. God is worthy of the glory. Hallelujah. He's worthy of the honor, and he is definitely worthy of all the praise. Amen. We give everyone greetings this morning in the house of God. Amen. We are excited that you have taken time out of your schedule to join us, amen, for this broadcast on this morning. If you stay with us, I guarantee you will not be disappointed. There is a powerful word and message being delivered by none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. But before we begin with the remainder of this service, I just want to encourage each and every one of you on this morning, amen, if you would please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Zephaniah. The book of Zephaniah, amen, third chapter, amen, coming out of the 17th verse. The book of Zephaniah, amen, chapter 3, starting at the 17th verse. And I'm reading out of the King James Version on this morning. The Word of God reads as such. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Excuse me. Behold, at this time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. And I will give them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the doing and the hearing of his word. That's the book of Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 17 through the 19th verse. Just want to encourage, amen, someone this morning that God is going to get praise out of your shame. Amen. Whatever you're going through, amen, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who's deserted you or turned their back on you. Amen. If you have been shamed for this season, amen, just know, amen, that God is going to get the praise and the glory out of your shame. Amen. Come on, let's give God a praise of this morning. Good. Magnificent and wonderful is our God and King. Amen. Just want to give the announcements for this morning, letting you know that today is the conclusion of the WOPD Fellowship, amen, conference, amen, that I have hosted, amen, since September 19th to the 21st. I just want to give thanks and praise to all the speakers that were able to grace this pulpit, amen, so that we may hear what thus saith the Lord. You missed it, amen. We had a powerful time in his presence, amen, and we have taken the word of God in our hearts, and we are going forward in obedience to what he has given us to do. Amen. Now I want to invite each and every one of you personally to my yearly conference, Women of Prophetic Destiny. That's October 16th through the 19th. You don't want to miss this. This is going to be some powerful speakers in the house. Amen. We're having, first of all, yours truly will be speaking. We're also having co-pastor Catherine Montgomery that is coming, amen, from Titusville, Florida. We have associate pastor Catherine Jones coming from Spring Cove, Florida, amen. And we also have co-pastor Roshonda Bryant Jones that is coming from, I believe, Sabrina, Florida, and also the angel of this house, Apostle McQueen, amen. You know he's got to give a word in the house, amen. This is going to be a powerful time. We have singers. We have praise and worship that's going to be coming forth. You don't want to miss this. October 16th through the 19th, where are we located? If you're able to get here live, I ask you to come here in person. Amen. If you're in the Brevard County area, or especially in Cocoa, we are located at 956 Cocoa, North Cocoa Boulevard. Amen. Suite 1121. That's 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. Services will be starting promptly at 7 p.m. Get here. Be ready, amen, for a move of God. Be ready that your hearts be open, your minds ready to receive. Let us begin to go higher, amen. Well, if you're looking for a theme, it's a call back to holiness, amen. That's the theme that God has given me for this conference, a call back to holiness, amen. I'm excited about what God is getting ready to do. Just invite all of you personally to join me. And then in the month of November, we have the Singles Conference coming forth. Amen. So for all of you single men and women out there, and I believe this year's theme is successfully single. Amen. Successfully single. Just because you are single does not mean that you have to be downtrodden, lonely, and desperate. Amen. Amen. But while you're in the waiting process, you need to still keep moving forward. So you can also be single and successful. Successful, excuse me, yes, single and successful. So while you're waiting for that Boaz, while you're waiting for Esther, while you're waiting for that spouse to come forward, amen, you can make sure that you're in a place to become whole, amen, because two broken people do not make whole, amen. We must be whole in order to push the next person, and they must be whole as they come in with you, amen. Two whole people make a wonderful union, amen, in the body of Christ. And finally, no, January 29th through February 1st, 2015, Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference. Amen. It's going to be all the young people are coming together. They're excited. They're getting ready to come and bring the noise. Amen. Worship, praise. We have probably rap, whatever their mind, spoken word. Amen. And most of all, the Word of God. Amen. Everything that we do, we got to have the Word of God in it. Amen. So those are our events, those are our announcements, amen. Go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Learn more about us, amen. See everything that we're doing, our media tab, amen. Go there, see all that, all of our shows, amen. And then if you want to contact us, go to the contact us tab at the top of our page, amen. For those of you who want prayer requests, amen. For those of you who want to know more about the church, the ministry, or if you want to become a vision partner and a financial supporter of this ministry, amen, follow the instructions, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Glory to God. Now, those are the announcements for this morning. And finally, Facebook page. Go to our Facebook page. Amen. We're on Twitter also. Let us hear from you and know how this ministry is blessing your life. Amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. Let's govern ourselves accordingly. Now, let us prepare ourselves for prayer and immediately following prayer, praise and worship, and then what we're all here for, the Word of God being delivered this morning, amen, the complete conclusion of the matter by none other than my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, amen. Let us look to the Lord, people of God, on this morning, amen. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we bless you. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you for the success of this conference, God. We thank you for the words that you have spoken through your women and men servants, Father. God, we thank you for the move of the Holy Spirit, most of all. God, our lives will never be the same, and for that we say thank you. Even now, God, as we come We just humble ourselves at your feet on this morning. We say, have your way in the music, have your way in the word, have your way in the lives of your people. God, we're even asking, Lord, that once again that your anointing, your presence, the tangible presence of the glory, the kabod, will just rest, rule, and abide in this house in the mighty name of Jesus. God, even now I ask that you would just begin to wash us in your presence, wash us in your word, wash us in the blood of Jesus as we begin to go forth. Amen. In praise and worship as the word comes forth, God, let it come forth in power. Let it come forth in anointing. Let it break every yoke. Let it destroy every feather. Let it destroy every chain. God, even mindsets that have not lined up with your word. God, we tear them down now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, let liberty and freedom be released in this house in Jesus' name. I've been created and declared to be so. God, let freedom and liberty be released in the minds of your people. I've been created and declared to be so in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we just ask that you would just cover each and every one of us in the blood. Our eyes and our hearts are open to receive from you. Remove the scales off of our eyes. Unstop our deaf ears spiritually. Let us hear what thus says the Lord right now in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we ask that you would begin to touch our hearts and put a spirit of obedience down on the inside of our souls. God, we ask now that you would put a yes down in our spirit once again. A yes to your will, a yes to your way, a yes to whatever the situation that you're going to bring us through and to and through in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, we thank you and we bless you for all that you have done. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Your name is mighty and holy. We shall worship you. We shall praise you. We shall give your name glory and honor. You're worthy of it all. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. God, we bless your name today. Hallelujah. Every one like you today, oh God. Hallelujah. God, we glorify you. Bless you. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, how can you know that every praise is to our God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you. Tell me, what can I do? Thank you. Thank you.
To whisper to you, amen, to speak to you and let you know that everything is really going to be all right. Amen. That you can make it. You can overcome. You are a victor, not a victim. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. He lets you know that the enemy is under your feet. Amen. He gives you the strength to make it one more day. Amen. That's what I love about him. Don't you love him?
Yes.
I do. Amen. Glory to God. So now, amen, without any further ado, amen, let us receive the angel of the time, the word that is coming forth from the man of God, amen, none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen. Let us receive him. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God a praise. Come on, let's give God a praise. Hallelujah. 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 Look at your neighbor and tell him, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. I want you to know that we're excited about where God is taking us and taking the worship. How many need to feel the presence of the Lord here?
Yes, God.
How many need to really feel it? Let me see you raise your hands and feel it. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people who wish that they had an opportunity to feel the presence of the Lord. And here you are.
Yes,
amen. God. This is your opportunity to feel his presence. And look, you don't have to go very far. He is here. Look at your neighbor and tell him he's here. Come on, tell him again, he's here. I give God a great praise.
Hallelujah!
Yes! This morning we want to take some time and just love on the Lord. I know that while we're, meeting early like this, some people say, you know, I just don't do early morning. But it was early in the morning when they went to the tomb to find Jesus. Amen. Early is when you actually get some of the things that you need from the Lord before the enemy can come in and convolute your day and mess you up, amen. God has already given you what you need, amen. Thank you. So we're grateful to God, amen, for all that he's done for us and with us, amen.
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 So look at your neighbor and tell them, God has something for me today.
God has something for me today.
Come on, say it again. God has something for me
today.
Amen. Give God a praise. Amen.
Now, let's go ahead and get into this word for this morning. Yesterday, we ended talking about our identity. Look at your neighbor and say, I am.
I am.
Go on and say it again, I am.
I am.
Amen. The thing is when we begin to talk about I am, we have to deal with the fact that God made us into someone special. Amen.
Yes.
I shared with you yesterday that you are not a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You could have came about at any time, but God chose to bring you about now. Amen.
Yes.
So it is an understanding in your now that you begin to walk full of your destiny. You begin to walk sure of your election and your calling. Amen?
Yeah.
Isn't that a wonderful thing that God created you with a purpose?
Mm-hmm.
No one just happens to be here. Everybody has a point and a purpose.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, I have a point,
and
a purpose.
And a purpose.
Now you know what you're going to say. Say it with some confidence. I have a point,
and a purpose.
Now isn't it interesting that people talk sometime and they're like, what's your point? I want you to know that sometimes you don't get the point. But God, when he designed my creation and my existence, he had a point to my life. Amen?
Amen.
And with that understanding, that means that I can do what I need to do without worrying about this, that, or the other. Amen. According to Psalms 139, amen, and 13, it says, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb.
Yes.
14th verse said, I will praise you. Look at your neighbor and say, I will praise you.
I will praise.
Now, you have to understand that your very existence is the praise that God is looking for.
Yeah.
The life that you live, according to Colossians, amen,
yeah,
is the life that he's looking for. That is the praise, amen. According to Ephesians, the first chapter, amen, we were created to be his praise, amen,
yeah,
to the praise of his glory, amen. So your life that you live is the praise.
Yes.
Y'all thought praise was hallelujah. Yeah, that's the praise too. But before you speak out of your mouth, the life that you live have already praised God.
Yes.
Amen. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because once you understand that, then you'll be careful of what type of praise you admit.
Amen.
That's a little deep, ain't it?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Pastor. That's a little early for this. Wait a minute. Let's go deep. Come on. Come on back up the rabbit hole some so we can go down with the next one. Okay. The thing is that this here, this is one of those principles you have to understand. We think my life is my own, and I can do whatever I want to do when I want to do it because this is me. And can't nobody tell me about myself because then I do your next start going and all that. Wait a minute. Hold on. Stop. Hold it. Wait a minute. Okay. You got to understand that your life and the way you get like that, your life, amen, that you live, amen, is a praise to God.
Amen.
According to the word of God, we are living epistles read of men. And the praise that we give is the life that we live. When people see our lives, then they look at us as if to see who we're praising.
Yes.
And why we're praising him. Huh? Who we're praising and why we're praising him. Amen. Because when you look over our life, and I like how we get happy right there. When I look back over my life and I see where the Lord has brought me from, my soul, okay, and we get happy about right there. But really, look back over your life. How many of you know that the Lord brought you from someplace? God brought you through something.
Yeah.
I want you to know that when God brought you from and brought you through, when you came through, the fact that you are living is a testimony. Just look at there and say, I am a living testimony. Well, I feel like you're happy this morning. You have to understand that the life that I live is the testimony that the devil couldn't kill me.
Hallelujah.
He couldn't destroy me. He couldn't hold me back. He couldn't hold me down. God had greater for me, and I'm living this life.
Thank
my
you.
Life is a testimony. So through my existence, it is a praise to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
All right. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Thank you.
We were sitting down to eat last night after the service, and I just want to tell you all who didn't make it, I'm so sorry that you missed it, amen. But the power of God came up in this place, amen. We had a time, And then we fellowship last night, went out to one of the restaurants, amen, that stayed open 24 hours. It wasn't McDonald's, that's all I'm telling you. Amen. Some people was like, I sat up there and ate a Big Mac too. They have free Wi-Fi. We didn't go there. Amen. But where we did go, we began to talk and we began to make mention of body types and body parts. And where it was comical in one aspect, the reality is each one of us, amen, is made differently. Stay with me. I know it was funny last night, but let's learn the lesson this morning. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm made differently from you.
I'm
pointing to my life and say, I'm made differently from you. Thank you, because if I was made like you, our marriage would be no fun. Amen. If nobody wants to be with somebody like them, same attitude. See, y'all going someplace else.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
spiritual children looking at spiritual parents going, no, mommy, daddy, no, mommy. I'm talking about the way that we do things. I think differently than she thinks.
Amen.
I'm so glad God made me different than her. But you know what that does? It brings balance to us. Amen. Can I show you how that works now that your mind's back up, catch the spiritual ramifications of it? So what God does is God puts together separate. You hear that? Together, separate. God puts together separate. Okay? There's a difference. Now look, I got a right eye and a left eye. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the thing is that with one eye, I have vision. But I have no depth perception.
All right.
You see?
Yeah.
With my other eye, I can tell how far. So one eye helps me to see. The other eye gives me depth. You see? Right. I got two ears. One ear gives me a notification that there's something there. With the other ear, I can tell distance and pretty much which direction it came from.
Okay.
Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to understand what God does here. If God left us by ourselves, we would be deficient in certain areas
that's
of our life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good.
But God puts us together with others who can help us to not only see, but perceive.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah.
So when God said here, or when the psalmist is saying, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, what he's doing is, he said, we can't be alike because I don't need two eyes to see the same thing. We still don't have depth or perception.
Wow. Okay.
Y'all see that?
Yeah.
So God gives us the ability, and he builds redundancy in it. I got two nostrils. If one gets stuffed up, I can still bring out the other one.
Yeah,
true. Huh? True. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
God tries to help us to understand that he created us in the most dynamic way. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not a mistake.
You are not a mistake.
You are a well-tuned, intricate being. God made you special.
Yes,
I know when we talk about special, some people think about special dudes, but no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God made you for your purpose, which brings me back to what we're talking about here. When you understand that you have a purpose in your life, then you'll stop throwing away your resource, which is your credibility, your passions, and everybody should know your inward secret. Can I go back to my mirrors right quick? There's some things, as I said before, I'm still learning about prophetess, amen? And there's some things she's still learning about me. We've been married for 21 years, October 16th, right? Okay, so October 16th, those of you, I got brownie points right there because I know what my anniversary date is, amen? So, but let me say this. What happens is that after 21 years, we're still discovering new. Okay, I'm trying to help somebody because you want to get married, but you waiting on somebody just to be. No, no, part of the marriage process is coming together as separate. You see, coming together as separate, you see?
Yeah.
And when you get together, you begin to help, you see? Because you got to be the best eye. How many of you have gone to an eye test and found out one of your eyes is 20/20, but the other one didn't quite measure up?
Yeah.
Put your hands together and just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for some glasses. I'm looking at a whole bunch of bifocals up in here. Amen. And I got some up here to help me read. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. But see, the thing is that both of your eyes sometimes don't see the same. But together you can make out better. And even with that, there's help for both of your eyes to help you to see what you need to see.
Yeah.
God is the helper. He sends the Holy Spirit who comes in and allows us to see through the Spirit what we need to perceive and get the whole picture.
Y'all understand? God knows what he's doing with us, that he made you the way that he did because your task, your assignment is specific to you. I thank God for our spiritual mother who's going on to be with the Lord, Mother Stella Boyd, who used to say it like this. She said, everybody got souls that they got to get to. They're on your street. I can come down your street, but I don't have voice in their ear. You do. And it's your job to get those souls that are on your street to go down your street, do your job, and stop worrying about what I'm doing on my street. Amen? Wouldn't it be crazy for me to be the only person who can invite people to church? No, my job is when they get here to have something for them when they get here. But it's the sheep's job to be get sheep. Oh, I just said something there. Somebody went. Okay, let me explain. The shepherd's with the flock, but he's not a sheep. Sheep procreate with sheep. Say it with me. Sheep procreate with sheep. Wouldn't it be wrong for the shepherd to be with the flock? And if he, well, some places this might happen. I'm not talking about that right now. But the sheep have to come from sheep. Right. Look around you. Ask the question. Who's procreating with whom to bring the sheep in? Now, for those of you of carnal mentality, I'm not talking about who's sleeping with who in the church. I'm talking about who are you birthing forth in the fold. All right. The shepherd's job is to cover the flock, feed, nurture. Amen? Lord, it's my shepherd, I should not want. You see that? Making me lie down in green pasture, restore myself. The shepherd's job is to take care of the sheep. But the sheep's job is to procreate. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm trying to help you because somehow or another, when we look at this, we don't see that God created us fearfully and wonderfully. We think it's everybody else's job to do what God fearfully and wonderfully made us to do. Y'all see it? I want somebody else to do what God gave me the ability in my making to do. You tell them about Jesus. I'll come and celebrate them when they get here. No, my job is to lay before God and to get. This morning I was in this passage and dealing with some things, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and I began to sit up middle of the night. I go back to sleep about 5 o'clock, and about 6:15, probably is waking me up so we can get up. Now that's my job, right?
Yeah.
Because some of y'all slept from the point that you laid down to the point you got up, and you kept smacking something over on the side of the bed like this, talking about shut up. 10 minutes, 9 minutes later, it was screaming again, and y'all doing it again. I don't have that luxury. When you work for God, God, the Holy Spirit speaks to you when he will. Amen? And most of the time, it's about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Some of you have gotten texts and stuff from me, and it was just that I was up that time. I knew you wasn't going to get the text earlier, but that was the time the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. Amen? So now, the sheep are supposed to go out and procreate to create more sheep. The shepherd's job is to make sure that there's green pastures and that there's some place for them to lie down and that it is a peaceful place for them to be in. Mm-hmm. Now, God created the shepherd in his making, just like he created the sheep in their making. Y'all see it? And if he did so, then he created you for what he has you to do. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Now, when I brought this up and I said the title of this is I Am, you have to understand that when we say I Am, we're talking about what I am. Not only what I am, but who I am. Look at your neighbor and just ask the question, who are you?
Who are you?
Come on, ask the question again, who are you?
Who are you?
Huh? And if you make sure that you know who you are and whose you are, then you can take care of some things. Amen?
Amen.
I told you one of the worst things in the world for you to do is to let somebody else give you an identity. Because the identity that people give you will never measure up to who God called you to be. Somehow or another, when people give you an identity tag, identification, it always fits what they want to accomplish.
Yeah.
You see? So you'll never be great in their eyes. You'll always be almost as great as.
Right.
But you'll never be as great or greater. Let me say something to you. The job of a parent is to make their children greater than themselves.
Yeah, amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
Huh? Yeah. So when God does things the way that he does it, what he does is he creates a situation, amen, where the father comes in and teaches the son, the mother comes in and teaches the daughter, and they begin to operate, but they operate at a greater level than the parent. My son should be better in music than I am. My son should be better in ministry than I am. Come on out. Because where I am is where I have matriculated to. But this is their starting point. Do y'all see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if they're going to be great, they have to come to where I am and supersede me. Oh, y'all not catching this.
Yes.
This ain't hit y'all just right. Oh, I just want to, if I could just get to, no, no, your job, look at your neighbor and say,
your job
is to seek to be greater.
Say
it again,
your job
is to seek to be greater. Amen. Come on, give God a praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
So then if I'm to seek to be greater, then that means that I have to learn all I can learn, but I have to go further than. Amen. And if I go further than God will bless me when I get there. Amen.
Yeah.
All right, look at this. Amen. Jeremiah, first chapter. We'll start about the fourth verse. Yeah, I have a page that I like to stick together for me. Why you shouldn't eat peanut butter and jelly by studying the word. I'm playing. Okay. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation. And we have already gone over this, that God knew you, so he designed you according to purpose. Amen. And you have a job to do, amen?
Yes.
Now, he sanctified you, and I showed you that simply because God loved you. He allowed you to be in a place where you can hear the gospel unimpeded, amen? You see that? So you're hearing the gospel shows that God wants you to be a child of his. Y'all see that?
Yes.
And if God wants you to be a child of his, what he's done is he's created for you an opportunity to hear the word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Just go on and clear that all out there and you're bumping the cameras. Amen. So what we're doing is you have to understand that God sanctified you. He separated you. He pulled you back. Amen. He put you away from things that will be toxic to you.
Yes.
The problem is we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity.
Yes.
Y'all see that?
Amen.
So before you came to know Christ, what happened to you is that you began to do some things that were costly to your kingdom assignment. Isn't it interesting when God called you into ministry, the first thing that you did was you began to run from it? Oh, wait a minute. You ain't called me to preach. I'm not talking about that ministry. I'm talking about you got saved. And then it came time for you to begin to move and do something in ministry, whether it's usher, huh? Ooh, I just can't stand up there all that time. Ooh, I just don't know. Okay, listen, whatever it is, where God calls you, most of the time, before you can get into it, we have already made excuses for what we can't do. Huh? Look at your neighbor and just ask him, did you make an excuse? Don't look at him. Don't look at him because, you know, some of us, we didn't make excuses. We're making excuses even now. Amen? Huh? Well. Okay, so the thing is that he sanctified us and gave us a job. He ordained us into whatever his creation purpose for us was.
Yes.
You see that? Now, let me just share this because Jeremiah obviously at this point was not ready to go out and prophesy. He was born in the womb. Before he was born, he was sanctified and he was ordained. But he did not come out, thus saith the Lord. No, it didn't happen like that. And some of you have to understand that your calling and your processing into your calling is two different things. You understand?
Yes.
So when God called you into ministry, the first thing he did was he gave you the call. That was the call that said, will you start down the path to get to the place where you need to be at when I call your name? You see it? So when you begin to move down the path, you begin to do what you need to do, and God begins to show you some things, amen, about yourself and actually shows it to you. Now you need to begin to deal with who you are. When I said I am, that means that I come into a knowledge of my being, a knowledge of my existence. I like that. Yes. Knowledge of my being. You see that?
Yes.
I am. Be. I am. Exist.
Okay. All right.
See, it is a self-awareness.
Yes.
One of the questions that they ask you when you begin to study psychology and sociology and all of those things, they begin to ask the question of, who are you? And you have to do introspection because there is the identity that you have, which you believe of yourself. And then there's the identity that you project to other people about yourself. When I say I am, if it is not rooted in the identity that God gave me, then I'll project the image that doesn't glorify God.
Wow.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
When I talk about being, I'm talking about becoming who God called me to be. I can't start living until I start being who he called me to be.
Yeah.
Y'all see that?
Wow.
Because otherwise than that, all I'm doing is walking around with a form and an existence, but I still can't live.
Yeah.
You see this? Because my living is tied to my assignment.
Yeah.
My assignment is why I was created and made this way.
Oh, God.
Well, we spend most of our time trying to be everybody else, not realizing that God made us special for the assignment he gave us. Ooh. See, I said it before, we have an identity crisis in the body of Christ. Children of God don't know who they are based on who other people are around them.
Yeah.
And when you recognize who you are, then you can stand firm. Let's go over here. I want to show you quickly a danger, amen, if you will, in assimilating someone else's ideal of who you are.
Okay.
1 Samuel 15.
for my sons that are moving into armor bearing, you need to read 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter. 1 Samuel 14. Daughters, y'all need to read 1 Samuel 14th chapter. A prophetess and myself, if God gives us an assignment, you need to be able to support that assignment and do what we're doing.
Okay.
Amen. And the precedence for that is there, 1 Samuel 14. Amen. Now, let's go to 1 Samuel 15. Amen. Let's look here. Let's go to the first verse. Let's just read a little bit, and then we're going to jump down so I can show you some things here. All right. I'm reading from New King James Version. It says, Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, keep the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go, attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man, woman, infant, nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, go depart, get down from the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you show kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. Now let's do this. His assignment was to go and destroy everything. Was it not?
Yeah.
Y'all read that, right?
Yeah.
The assignment that God gives you is for you. And this is not Saul's first incident.
Right.
Okay? There were others, amen? But his problem, we're about to see it here. God gives him an assignment. Now, the eighth verse, go to the eighth verse. Let's see what actually happened here, okay, because it didn't go that way. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. Everybody say alive.
Alive.
Clearly, you did not understand the word of the Lord. Okay? And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spare Agag, listen to this, and the best sheep, and the oxen, the fatling, the lamb, and all that was good. They were unwilling to destroy, utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. Now, let's stop right here because I want you to understand that your good intention will never equal to obedience.
Uh-huh.
I was about to say that, but thank you for saying it. Let me just reiterate for those of you who didn't hear it. Partial obedience is not obedience. It's disobedience. That's a little... I did the best I could. No, you didn't do the best you could because God wouldn't ask you for your best that you could. He'll ask you for the best you can and that you should do. It's sometimes we think that God thinks on our level. Ooh, that's just, something about, well, I just do this a little bit. We need to go to Acts to look at what happens, you know, when, you know, did you sell your land for? That wasn't good. A couple hours later, the wife, that wasn't good either. Why did you set your heart? Well, you got to understand when God sends an assignment, God knows exactly what that assignment is.
and so does the man and the woman of God. This isn't for fear. This is for instruction. Amen? And God, when he speaks to us, we need to be attentive to every detail. Listen to your, look at your neighbor and say, be attentive to every detail.
Be attentive to every detail.
Now, let me see what happens here. Okay? They were unwilling to utterly destroy them because they thought that it had some value to it. But when God rejects something, I don't care what your value of it is worthless. How do we do that today? There's a comment, or there was something that I put on social media after discussion, and this is where this comes in. I'm going to tie it in right now. Okay, now, when God tells us that we're supposed to be dedicated to him, and he will take care of us, and he'll give us what we need, and then he'll set us up, okay, and do all that we need, favor will precede you, and doors will open for you that you could, okay, all of that happens. But when you think that God can't protect you, then you go out with your gifts, your talent, your ability, and try to make it happen for yourself. And then you try to justify that you were sold out to God by saying it is a job. But the truth is that you really like that environment.
Well, tell it.
So here you are over there with them, and they shaking and doing and showing all this, pull this up and this tight, and you sitting there talking about, well, that's a shame. Breaking that down. Tomorrow morning in church, you trying to get us to get into his presence,
right,
and we can't get there because yesterday you wasn't in the Lord's camp. Okay? Huh? And when we come and we say that you need to be dedicated to God, the first thing you say, well, I'm trying to make this earthly job. I don't think it's wrong because I'm in school for it. Okay, hold on. Who gave you the intelligence to understand what you were reading in the book? You have to understand that who gave you the ability to pick up the amp in an instrument? Who gave you the strength? Who gave you? The enemy don't mind giving you things if he thinks he can misconstrue in your thoughts what the blessing is. That's why we have identity crisis, because a true child of God understands that a trick can never be the trick. Whew, Jesus, hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, stop trick or treating. And just be obedient. So they were unwilling to do what they were supposed to do. Amen. Let me look at this here and move quickly. Tempers. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And my question to you is simply this, amen. Are you a person that God will repent from? Huh? Are you a person that God has to repent for blessing? A lot of questions this morning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Aren't these the make me think questions?
Yes, they are.
Huh? Aren't these the I don't know if this is right questions?
Right.
Huh? Maybe I need to reevaluate some things questions. I didn't see it that way questions. Huh? But if you get this together, then you can start walking in the blessings of God, because he is bound to bless you according to your obedience to him. All right. Look at your neighbor and say, I need to be blessed.
I need to be blessed.
Now, why'd you look at him and say, I need to be obedient first?
I need to be obedient.
So, now, look at this. God said, I repent for setting him up. And look at what Saul does. Saul has disobeyed God. All right. Look to the 11th verse. He repented that he made Saul king because he turned back from following him, which means that at one point he was there.
Yeah.
Huh? And if he was there, then that means that, guess what? He loved the Lord. He followed after him. But when God gave him a commandment, he broke ways with God.
Don't that sound like, ooh, I love the Lord, oh, hallelujah. Prophetess and I had a young lady who came to the church, amen, and when she came to the church, what she did was she said, the Lord told me to come and submit myself. And she was messing with a young man who was married to someone else. And while she was there saying, the Lord told me to come and submit, and I'm going to be here, he said, for me. And the Spirit of the Lord came on prophetess, and she said, the Lord said for you to leave such alone. That's not your husband. God said, leave him alone, less. Okay? Next Sunday, she was at somebody else's church, say, the Lord told me to come back here. Okay, you see that? I'm following the Lord until the commandment comes. Saul did this. Now, let's see what happened with Saul here, because this is going to help you out, because some of you are making excuses for what other people did, and it didn't work for Saul, it ain't going to work for you. Amen? Huh? 12th verse. Huh? Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went up to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. In other words, he did all of this with the people patting him on his back, and now he's trying to show everybody how grand and wonderful, and look at what I have done. I'm doing so well. Listen, people will give you accolades all day long as long as you're not obedient to God, because after all it's said and done, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are dark, and as long as you're supposed to be the anointed of God in the dark place with them, they don't feel bad about being there. You see it?
Yeah.
So when you in the club and you doing all of this and you helping them to sin, they don't care that you call yourself a Christian, because you being there defies the Christianity in you.
Right.
I can't go to the nudie bar and stand up the next day and say, thank you, Jesus, I was over there trying to save souls. Hey, share a tract and quote a Bible verse. The closest thing I got to was, oh, Lord. That was all. That is not God. That is not shared Christianity with nobody. But there are people walking around today saying, well, you know, my anointing doesn't take me in. No, your anointing only shows up for the job that it is assigned to do. It is not as lucky what I got or show somebody what I can do. It is always there for a purpose.
Perfect.
Look at your and say, your anointing shows up for a purpose only. Let me move quickly here. He set up for himself a monument, and then he went on to Gilgal. And then when Samuel came here in the 13th verse, the first thing he did was he greeted him with joy. 13. Yeah, there you go. He says, the Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. You sound holy right now. Ooh, thank you. God bless you. We're so happy, prophet. We're so happy, apostle. Yeah, yeah. Okay, you sound right, but you ain't doing right, and you don't look right. What do you mean you don't sound right? Okay, because when he said that, blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. First of all, you're lying, and we can tell it. Yeah, let me help you out. God shows up. Everybody that's under our charge, am I right? And when God shows us those who are under our charge, we see it just as clear. How we deal with it is the wisdom of God, amen? Yeah, just because I'm saying that don't mean I don't see, amen? Huh? But Samuel said, what then is this bleeding of sheep here? We hear or we sense already your disobedience. You see that? The lowing of oxen, which I hear. And Saul says, I have brought them from the Amalekites for the people. Spare the death of the sheep and of the oxen. The sacrifice to the Lord. Listen to this. You are God. And stop being my God when I'm defending my actions. And after all is said and done, I'm really defending me. Huh? Because this is what I wanted to do. And the people gave me attaboys and accolades to do it. So I went and did it because they were happy with me to do it. But isn't it better to make God happy than to make man happy? Yeah. Let me read you on my last minute here. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. He said they'll speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribe of Israel? Then after the Lord anoint you king over Israel, now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil on the sight of God? Listen, let me say this to you. God's trying to get us to a place where we are so obedient to him that what we can get from this is not as attractive as pleasing God for it. We got to get to a place where we want him more than we want anything. And we got to stop making excuses for bad behavior. Saul said, I have obeyed. But the people didn't want to because it was all good. And we want to sacrifice it to you. The Lord don't care about you going out and doing all that bad and trying to bring it back to be blessed at the temple. He said the Lord has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings of sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is after sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is after iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know something right now. God is trying to call us to a place of obedience where we stop questioning every command that God gives. I said that God gives. I didn't say that people who are trying to get you to do this, that, or the other said. I said what God gives. Because with God command comes kingdom expansion, kingdom growth. Amen? And God is trying to get us to do the work and stop making excuses. He didn't ask you where you came from or who you were. He said simply this, I know you. I knew you before there was a you. I ordained you. I sanctified you. And then when we read down in Jeremiah, the first chapter, the Lord took his hand and touched his mouth. Put my words in your mouth. The words that you speak and the anointing that he gives you aren't even your words. But your obedience belongs to you. Amen? This title, I Am, says I have come into an understanding of my existence. But now I'm not just understanding I exist. I have become a being. And the being that I am is a vessel of honor to the house of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart of your sin. I pray that you pray this prayer with me and become a child of God yourself. Bow your head, close your eyes. Simply say, Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, if they pray this prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible-believing ministry where they can grow and be developed and mature into the things that you called them to do. Lord, I pray right now for those who are sick and shut in. I pray for those who need miracles, signs, wonders to manifest in their lives. Lord, you do it so that you get the glory out of their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you for every sign, wonder, miracle that will manifest, every soul saved, every deliverance, every healing that manifests so that you get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Listen, go to our website, www.cpkr.org. There you can learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us to help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Your financial gift is needed to help us do the work that God called us to do.
We can do a lot ourselves, but we can do great much more if you would simply join with us in our call. So we pray that you will be led by the Spirit and sow a seed into this ministry and help us do the work that God has given us to do. Amen. I'm Apostle Kristen from Queen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen, we welcome you to come to us and join us, and we thank you for your time. We thank you for your effort, and we just want to remind you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We'll see you on Tuesday at 7 p.m.